I want to talk about unforgiveness, a spiritual disease. A spiritual disease. Most of this context from this is going to come from Matthew 18, 21 through 35. So if you want to open your Bibles there, I'm going to have some other scriptures, but we'll just read those. If you open your Bible right there, you're going to see the crux of what I'm going to be talking about today. You know, relationships, folks, in our church are vitally important. They're vitally important to the success of the ministry here that we have. Now, we talk an awful lot here about our relationship with God, and rightly so, we should. We really emphasize that because you got to take care of that before you can do the other. But I want to emphasize this morning, we all have to have each other, and it's so important that we work together with one another and that we express love to one another. But you know what? Sometimes things happen. You know, someone will say something to hurt your feelings. You might as well get ready for it. They probably will, whether they meant to or not. And you may say something to hurt somebody. What that causes, it causes a blockage kind of. And I want to correlate this morning to a physical condition and a spiritual condition. And I want you to see the correlation between them because I think that is a lot to it that's very similar. Now, the physical condition, and our pastors just had it about a month ago, is heart bypass surgery. Many of you know, some of you may have had it that's in here, I don't know. But many of you know that that's done, and they, you know, they find that you've got arteries that are clogged and they're not, you know, not getting blood to the heart the way they're supposed to and to the rest of the body. So the doctors now have, you know, just mastered this technique pretty much where they go in and they know what they're doing and they open up the breastbone and they go in and look at the different arteries around there. I'm by profession an engineer, so I don't know about the medical terms, but in engineering, we just run pipe over here and pipe over here and pipe over here until we get, you know, we get it settled. It's simple. But they're dealing with life and death, and they do that. But that heart bypass surgery will save your life. It definitely will save your life. Now, this unforgiveness in our relationships will create a spiritual clogging, if you will. We won't be able to function just right because there's a spiritual disconnect and a spiritual clogging right there. Now, the Apostle Paul said, I see with the eyes of my heart. Paul saw in his spirit, in his heart. He was a spirit man. And that's the way we can take from that and really apply that to this subject. Now, it's inevitable in us, okay? I want you to be concerned about this, but it's inevitable in us. If someone says something to hurt us or does something to hurt us, the first thing we want to do is hurt them back. You know why? Our nature of sin, that's the first thing it does. It tells us. You have to. I don't know about you, but I have to fight that. I have to really put that down because that's, you know, I just, it's just my personality, I guess. Now, we need to understand from that all these people that we have a problem with, you know, there's a good likelihood they're going to be in heaven. And you're going to be with them. So you need to get rid of the problem here. Because I can assure you one thing, when we get to heaven, the problem's not going to be there. Not going to be any of that. All that confrontation and all that pent-up hostility you've got inside you that turns to bitterness and you are really, really hurt and it needs to be settled here because when you get there, it's not going to be any record of it. There's not going to be anything said about it. Now, I want to ask a question here, and this is pretty simple, but if you've ever said anything to another person and you know you hurt their feelings, raise your hand, please. We didn't miss many, did we? Sharon, did you raise your hand? I was just checking. All right, now here we go. Converse of that. Has anyone in this congregation or this church ever said anything to you that hurt your feelings? Raise your hand. So, now I said, someone raised it. I said, raise your hand. They went, they didn't want to go too far with that one. That first one, I've said something, yeah, you know. Actually, I saw some people then, the wife was holding up the husband's hand. That's a little sociological experiment, I guess. You know, when we get hurt, people that get hurt, I don't know if you know this or not, they're way more likely to hurt somebody else than anyone. They get hurt and they hurt back, even if it's not the person who did something to them. They hurt somebody. Now, this is true all the way down, but in the husband and wife relationship, and I wouldn't dare bring that up here because, you know, my wife, that's off limits to you, so you're not going to get to hear all of that. But there are husband and wives, when they get married, they'll love each other. Man, I mean, we so love each other and all that. And after they're, you know, married a while, you know, they start watching things a little closer. Now, there's this pastor, story of a pastor, young pastor and his wife, and they were called to a new church. And they'd been there like 2 or 3 weeks, and it was kind of like a habit for the ladies of the church to keep, you know, hard candy in a pocket or in something they carried it in, and to give the children, you know, go up to the children and give them candy. And their mother, the mother of the little boy, the pastor's son, she pulled him aside because she noticed that he was going and telling people, well, I'm the pastor's son. And what he was doing, he was leveraging that fact to get more candy. And it was working great for him. He was really cleaning up. But then his mother called him aside. Dad wasn't involved. But his mother called him aside and said, look, I see what you're doing. And I don't like it, and I want it stopped. He said, what are you talking about? And she said, don't you dare. You don't tell anybody you're the pastor's son. Your name is Tanner, and that's good enough. And don't you be doing that to get more candy. That's not right. So little boy goes to church next week, and lady comes up to him with candy and said, hey, aren't you the pastor's son? He said, well, I thought I was, but my mama told me I wasn't. Forgiveness is needed there, isn't it? You know, I don't know how the pastor got out of that little thing, but it's needed. And I'm reminded of this, and I don't mean to be distasteful with this, but we all know this is true. There are some things that ladies use that men do not. Let your mind wander a little bit. And the ladies ask us, though, to go to the store and buy it for them. Y'all with me on that? Okay. We don't want to do that because it's embarrassing to us. I don't know why it is, but if we're seen with that in the store, somebody's going, look what he's doing, you know. They're going to equate that with us. We don't want that shame. We don't want that. So this guy agreed to go buy that for his wife, and he goes into Walmart, and he does what most of us would do. He gets one of those little plastic shopping baskets, you know. He's carrying it around in the store. But he don't go, you know, right to that one product, no. He goes and gets him a bag of Fig Newtons and three or four other things. He gets about 4, 5, 6 other things, and then goes and gets that product, puts it in there with him, like nobody's going to know that's what he had. You know, it's just, and it was working for him. Every one of us has done the same thing. I have. I'll tell you, I have done it. So anyway, he brings it over there, and the lady's checking him out, and he's going, whew, man, nobody's seen me yet, and this is going good. Go check me out, and I'm getting out of here. So he's thinking everything's moving just right. But when she checks him out and hands him the bag and he's paid and everything, he starts to head for the car. Didn't notice over there by the door where they had the little sign where they'd been mopping the floor and cleaning something up. He was running like crazy. Well, as you know, the first thing he does is slip and fall. Carriage goes straight up there. And guess what lands right on the floor for everybody to see? Now, I'm assuming, you know, he had to forgive the wife. Does that rhyme with y'all? That he would have to go home and forgive his wife for that. You know, she hadn't done anything, but he'd have to forgive her for that, I guess. There's this disconnect sometimes when we try to understand that why we are like that. Why do we want to strike back? Why do we do? Well, in the Garden of Eden, you read in Genesis, when man and woman sinned, one of the first things they did is blame each other. They had the blame game. You can read in Genesis, they'll show you. But here's the thing. There was no reason whatsoever for that sin to be there. Because they had everything they had ever wanted. Adam never got home late from work. Didn't work. He was always right where Eve wanted him to be. Eve never cooked a bad meal. She never cooked. She had everything they want to eat was perfect. And it was pleasing to them. Everything they could ever want. They didn't have clothes. You know, Adam saved a fortune because Eve didn't buy clothes. They basically had everything that they ever need, but when they confronted each other with what the sin that happened, there was something done right there that's plagued us ever since. And it's called keeping a record of wrongs. The record of wrongs started to be kept there, and that polluted us all the way down. A pastor got the opportunity from a friend, set it up for him to visit Billy Graham and basically what Billy Graham's last day. So he said to Billy Graham as he sat there, he thought, Lord, what I'm so honored to be here and see Dr. Graham. But he said, Dr. Graham, do you have any advice for me? Do you have something you can tell me that will help you? Dr. Graham said, yes, I do. He said, what's that? He said, love your wife. Love your wife. And the man kind of looked like, well, okay, I'm taking care of that. Brother Graham said, work on relationships. Work on relationships. And you know why? Because relationships need work. They do. And Brother Graham told him something else that I thought it's really in line with what we want to look at today. Brother Graham told him, live with the end in sight. Live your life with the end in sight. And if you do that, that you won't keep records of wrongs that other people have done and things that you have done. If you don't live your life like that, keeping the end in mind, you'll keep score when you shouldn't. Now, Barney Fife said there are two roads, you know, there are many roads down, through. We walk down many roads, he said. But there's two I want you to look at here tonight, just basic. There's one road of glitz and glamour, and it's, you know, it's the world's road, and it's our life road, and you can walk down that one. It looks so good. It really does. It will entice you to walk down it. It's going to be hard for you not to, because you don't want to not walk in it, because it looks like the best thing to do. Glitz and glamour everywhere, reward looking like it's everywhere. And all you have to do to be in that road and walk down it is be like everybody else. Just make it your goal to be like everybody else. And if you do, that's probably the road you'll be walking on. But there's another road. There's another road that follows after the will of God. And it's seeking the will of God for your life. And it's walking every day in his care. And it's praying to his son, Jesus Christ. And it's facing every circumstance in life, knowing that you have an end in sight and you're tied with the Father. You're there. That's the road we should strive to follow. Now, in our story today, and I'm getting there, in Scripture, forgiveness always portrays usually a payment of debt or a cancellation of that payment. Can I tell you this, if you don't carry home anything today, this is it. Jesus is real good at forgiveness. You get that? He's the champion of forgiveness. Well, how do you know? Well, just this one story in Scripture will tell us. You know, they put him on the cross on Friday, and they nailed his hands and his feet like they normally did. And he's hanging on the cross. Did you hear him say, "Hey, get me out of here. I'm not the right one." No. "Hey, this hurts. Who came up with this?" No. You know what? He never said one word of criticism or anything for hanging there. All he said was, "Woman, behold your son." You know, family, take care of family. And then he said this, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." He's hanging up there, and it's got to hurt. It's his last days. He's there, and he says, "Father, forgive them." I got to thinking of what I might say. What would you? I would say, "Hey, you got the wrong guy. You know, get me off." Or I'd say, "You know, I didn't do this. I don't know what's going on here. There's a mistake. Please take this spike out of my hand." Or we would have hollered all kind of injustice. And did you know, I probably shouldn't tell you this, but I'm going to. It was the custom that if you put a man on the cross and he was going to do that in order to save his family from hearing that and the guards and everybody that put him on the cross, they just cut his tongue out. And he couldn't complain then. There was no complaint. But Jesus was on that cross up there. And you know what? The nails in his hands and feet, that didn't hold him on the cross. That didn't hold him. You know what it was? It was the spirit of forgiveness. He was forgiveness. He was the essence of it. And he stayed on that cross and he took our sins. Folks, we can't walk like Christians every day if we don't have forgiveness in our hearts. If we can't forgive other people, how in the world are we going to communicate with a God and ask him to forgive us? And the story covers that all the way. Let me start by just reading parts of this story. Matthew 18, 21. And you may be familiar with this parable. I'm not certain. But it says in verse 21, it says, "And then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sinned against me, and I forgive him up to seven times.'" Now, I want to stop right there and just tell you what was going on here. Peter was trying to impress Jesus, because it was the custom of the day. If somebody wronged you, you forgave him three times. That was it. So what Peter did, he said, "Well, you know, the custom's three. I'm going to ask Jesus." He said, "I'll just add one to it and then boosted up seven." So he asked Jesus, thinking that Jesus was going to hear this and just think, "Oh, what a great person you are to be so forgiving." So he said to Jesus, he said, "How often?" He said, "I give him up to seven." And Jesus said to him, "Do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." How many of you in here this morning know that that did not mean 490? That's not what was meant. Jesus' answer was, "Forgive again. And when you forgive, don't look at the number. Forgive again." Because what if Jesus had got on a cross and looked at our numbers? and say, well, I can go so far, but that's it. No, he forgave it all. And what he's telling Peter here is, don't put enough, forgive again. When somebody hurts you, forgive again. Forgive the next time. Now, let me continue right there in just a moment. He said, I believe that Jesus sensed that Peter didn't get this at all. That Peter, you know, asked him and he was trying to impress him. But when Jesus said that, sometimes said, he's like, what? You know, what kind of number is that? Is it the number or what are we doing? And Jesus said, no, you know, I'm going to tell you in a parable here about what happens, what you should know here to that. Therefore, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, you can look in the commentaries, you can look all over the place for 10,000 talents. I saw one place that said it was $1.68 billion equivalent. Now, I also read another place that it's equal to $12 million, 10,000 talents. Now, I don't know what's accurate. It really doesn't matter. But what we need to see here is that's a large number. That's a real large number. I'll use $12 million as we talk about it. But when he had to, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children, all that he had, that payments be made. Now, that's what they did. If you owed a debt and you couldn't pay it, they put you into slavery and make you earn back and pay as time went on. They put your wife and children in prison or put them into slavery. This was commonly done. This wasn't the exception. It was the rule. Now, it says that the servant, therefore, fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me. I will pay you all. And then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. He didn't have to pay any of it back. See a correlation here? Our master went on the cross, forgave our sins. He didn't put a number of them. He did them all. If they're 12 million or 1.6 billion, he took them all, just like this guy did. He said, you don't have to pay. He had compassion on us. Now, if he did that with us, we should have compassion on one another. And it would solve this problem of hurt feelings and this and that that go to hinder us from carrying on the business of the church because of personal problems and personal reasons. Now, let me get back and see where I'm at, okay? I've given you three motivations, I call them, to forgive. Three motivations to practice forgiveness, okay? The first one is remember the debt that you were given. We just talked about that. We just covered that. If you remember the debt that you were given, then you will be blessed and you will want to forgive. You will have compassion on those that you need to forgive. Now, look at Romans 4, 7 and 8. If y'all can pull that up for me. Thank you. It says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Blessed are those whose deeds are forgiven. Show me Colossians 2, 13 and 14 right quick. There you go. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, capital him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Our sins are there, and they've been taken away, and it's forgiven. Now, when we start to forgive another person, you won't have near as much trouble with it if you think about what God forgave you of. If you just stop to think that first. I'm going to look at the extent that God forgave me. You do that, and you won't have near the trouble. Brother Tom Hayes is one of my favorite pastors that comes through here. I really don't know why. I just took to him the first time I saw him. But I remember something. He did a sermon the first time he was here called The Gospel According to Isaiah. And I ate it up. I had notes, and it was so good. He's a very loving man, and you could tell that. He's not ashamed to tell God he loves him in front of everybody. It doesn't make any difference to him. But he said this. He said, not only did Jesus forgive us of our sins, you know, and if the writings were down on a tablet or whatever they were written on, our sins, and he forgave them, he said, that tablet is not there anymore. I hope you understand that. Because Jesus forgave you your sins, they're not going to be remembered. They're going to be thrown away. There's no record of them. When Jesus paid the price, the receipt was killed. It's done. It's thrown away. And I love that picture. Now, let me go back to Matthew for just a second here. It said in verse 28 there, he said, but the same servant who was forgiven his debt, he went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, $17. $17. And he had laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. Now, it was custom in Rome, and I read where if somebody owed you money and they didn't pay, you were within your legal rights to put your hands around their throat and choke them until you couldn't anymore. They certainly weren't going to pay you after that, I wouldn't think. But you were within your legal rights to do that. So he fell down his feet. The servant didn't say, have patience with me. I'll pay you all. And he wouldn't do it. And so he went and he threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me and I had compassion. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother of their trespasses. Did you hear how serious those words are? We are not to forgive whenever the mood strikes us. We're not to forgive just, you know, so we can get back in good with somebody. And folks, Jesus commands us to forgive. He knew. Does it bother you that Jesus knew we'd have problems? Of course he did. He knew people. He knew each one of us. He knew us inside out. And my brother preached so great Wednesday night, and I remember you said that. This is one thing I hate to have to tell people sometimes, but we folks, we are inherently evil. The Bible says in Genesis we are. The very imagination of us, the next thought that comes to our mind is inherently evil because of the nature of sin that's in us. So there's going to be a lot of this hurt feelings. There's going to be a lot of this said the wrong thing, and we've got to learn to forgive that and go on. Why do you think the wicked servant did what he did? I think it was because he couldn't understand or couldn't comprehend how much he was forgiven. He didn't believe the master had totally forgiven him. And I think that's what moved him to go and do that injustice. Do not keep a record of wrongs. You cannot forgive something that you have not received. God has given you forgiveness, and you need, we all need to make sure that we have a forgiving spirit. Number two, there's only three of them. Number two, keep forgiveness flowing in your life. Keep forgiveness when I say flowing, not as a thing where I forgave here and 3 or 4 years later, a bunch of people had hurt me, but I hadn't forgiven them, and I decided to get. No, keep forgiveness flowing in your life daily. You don't ever know when you're going to need it. Look at Mark 11, 25 and 26, guys. Are we there? Is that it? Okay, I couldn't say. It said, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. Forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you of your trespasses. We've got a comparison now. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Uh-oh. The comparison went downhill then, didn't it? Forgive him so that you can be forgiven. Keep the spirit of forgiveness flowing. And I'm finishing up here, so don't panic. The third motivation is forgiveness given is forgiveness received. Now, I want to share something with you that I experienced a number of years ago. A couple of times in the church I was at before I came here, and I've had it, I guess, three times. I always like to work with the young people. When I first became a Christian, you know, our pastor asked me, said, you know, do you feel comfortable, you know, getting a group of young people together and see what you can do with them? And I said, yeah, I'll be glad to. I'd have done anything said. But I said, yeah, I'll be glad to. And young people, if you're here this morning, I love you. Can you hear that? I love you. But I will tell you, that's one of the hardest things that you can do. We need to pray for Brother Keith and all those that are with him today. That's a hard thing to do sometimes. Now, I'm not saying that the young people are bad. I'm just saying to establish some kind of rapport with them is a difficult thing. One of the things I did, and I thought it was, you know, I thought it was okay to do this. Some people may have questioned. I'd go get the cheerleaders and the majorettes. I'd figure out who they were in high school, and I'd go invite them to my youth time. And you may say, well, that, Mike, that's crazy. No, I didn't do that. God did. He made them. And what I found out was if you got them to come to the meeting, you had three boys coming. For every one of them, you had about three boys come, and the room just multiplied. I tried for the longest time in this one group, and I said, you know, I'm about ready to throw up my hands. I can't get to. What I would do, I'd do about a 15-minute devotion and read a little scripture so that they got the foundation. But then I told them, it's not going to work. You're not going to keep coming for me reading that 15-minute devotion. You can get that at Sunday school. You can get it at the message on Sundays. I said, but what I want to do is I want all of us to get around here in a circle. And what they did was very casual. We had about 30 people there that night. And they some of them on the floor, some of them reclining over here, some of them sitting in a chair, you know, they're all over the place. And what I said was, this other 45 minutes we have here is not mine, it's yours. I don't talk during that time. You do. And it was real hard. You know, I ate those words. Because for a while I had to talk, but they were not going to say a word. They didn't want to say anything in front of each other. The peer pressure was so big that they just didn't want anybody else to know. So finally we got to talking about this thing with forgiveness, almost the exact same thing I'm talking about this morning. And I noticed one night when we got through with that, this young girl, she kind of looked, she had tears in her eyes, and I thought, Lord, what's wrong with her? And she said, Mr. Mike, she said, and she pointed out another girl in the room and said, hey, I want you to know I held it against you for a long time, what you did to me. And said, I never understood what the scripture meant about forgiving. I never understood I had to forgive you. And she went over and got that girl's hand, and that girl was in tears. And I think it was one of them stole one of them's boyfriend. That's usually what it was. But they got down. She knelt down in the floor with this girl and held her hand and said, pray for us that I'm going to forgive her of what she's done. And they both sat there and prayed together. Now, I will tell you, that was rare. But from that moment on, the group, they awoken and got better. They we had people, if you didn't want to say anything, you could say, please pray for my unknown, you know, or whatever it is, pray for my unknown problems or whatever. And then other people got to where they'd say, you know, I need to forgive somebody, and I've done this. But it morphed into a forum time that we could all talk about what God was doing and just different aspects and that kind of thing. But that thing on forgiveness, it moved everybody. They really went wild after that. Now look at Matthew 6, 14 and 15, if you don't mind. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Okay. It says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We just covered that and touched on that some. But here's the thing, folks. If you keep forgiveness flowing, and you in this last one, forgiveness is given, is forgiveness received. We pointed that out in a couple of scriptures that it was said. But the problem is, we need, every one of us needs more grace to live another day. We need more of God's grace. Do you understand when you forgive somebody, grace flows? When you forgive somebody, a part of grace fills your spirit. And you began to act in the way that God wanted you to be. I know you're thinking this morning, Mike, I know you're talking about forgiveness and everything, but you don't know what that person did to me. And my answer to that is no, I don't. But I do know that you're supposed to forgive. I had a problem. I'm reluctant to even share it with you, but I think you need to hear this kind of thing. Sometimes we're okay. I'm like this. You hurt me, I'll go out and pout for a little while, and then I'll just forget it and go on. But sometimes I didn't stop and forgive like I was supposed to. I just forgot it and kept on going. That's not what we're supposed to do either. But when someone hurts your children, it's another story. I hate to tell you this, but it was for me. A number of years ago, someone hurt my son, and I knew they did. And my son did not want to tell me, but he eventually did. By the time he did, some time had passed. But let me tell you, my temper hadn't passed. I really have a bad temper, but you got to go a long way to get there. But somebody hurting my son brought it out. I was so ready to go to that person's house and get up in his face and say, you hurt my son, and I know you did it. And I didn't know if it was going to come to blows or not. He might have killed me if I had. But I was going to get in his face and let him know that's what he did. You hurt my son, and I'm not standing for it. And I was all ready to go. And I'll tell you what kept me from going. A few years earlier, Brother Frank called me in his office. We had been talking about some things for a while. He called me in his office and he said, I told him Cindy was going to leave. I said, no, keep her here. You don't know how much I have depended on her for different things over the years. She's taught me quite a bit. But Brother Frank said, Mike, I want you to be the associate pastor at Grace. And I remember when he said it. And Cindy agreed with him. And I said, well, look, let's just do it like this. I said, I don't need a title. I'll just do what you asked me to do, but I don't need that title. Brother Frank said, oh, yes, you do. Cindy said, oh, yes, you do. I thought, I don't need that title. But as time went on, I became the associate pastor. And then that night when I wanted to go hurt this man for what he had done to my son, let me tell you what happened. I can't go hurt this man. I'm the associate pastor. And it occurred to me why they wanted me to have that title. They're saying, you're going to have to live up to it. You can't be your old self. And I just had tears in my eyes because I cannot tell you how much I wanted to go. Boy, did I want to go. But I had to stand there and say, I'm the associate pastor. I can't do that. And I forgive him. I forgive him for what he did to me. Joseph and his brothers at the end of this, Joseph's got them all out. He's got all the grain and everything. They're going through a drought. They're going through this famine on the land, and Joseph was the distributor of the grain and all that, and all his brothers had lined up in front of him and his father. I don't know if they knew exactly who he was. We're not sure of that, but he certainly knew who they were. And he stood in front of them and said, what you meant was for evil, but God meant it for good that I'd be right here. God meant it for good. You meant it for evil. One of the things that we don't need to do is minimize what people do to us. Don't do it. Some people just say this. They say, it wasn't nothing. It wasn't anything. Yes, it was. It hurt you. If it hurt you, it was something. Don't minimize it. Maximize Jesus. Maximize the forgiveness. But don't minimize the hurt. It's hurt. It's there. It's there. And then I've heard this a number of times in my life, and I'm finishing. I've heard people say forgiving is forgiving forgetting? I don't think so, folks. Forgiving is not forgetting. You say, you're going to remember the sin all the time, whatever somebody did to you? No. I'm going to remember that I forgave them. That's where not forgetting comes in. It's not the sin they did to you or what tried to do to you. It's remembering that you forgave them. Look lastly at Romans 12, 17, 18, I think, and 19. That it? Okay. He says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things and in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now I want you to look at that phrase, as much as depends on you. As much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now you have a lot depending on you. That forgiveness thing starts with you. God forgave you. You got to forgive. It's just simple as that. So we need to make sure we put that in practice. And God's grace will apply to every day of our life for what we do. Folks, keep forgiveness in your heart so that you can forgive other people. And if you hurt someone, ask them to forgive you. We can't be a church and be successful and ministry here and do what we're doing when we have problems each with another. We got to love each other in Christ. Bring each other together. If you got a little something about you you don't like, and I'm sure I got some things you don't like, forgive them and move on. Let's pray. You can come, Daryl. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, for the day that you've given us. Lord, for moments to worship, to praise your name for who you are and what you've done. Lord, forgiving us was so large. That was your purpose here. And I thank you so much for it. Lord, I thank you for this church family. Lord, let them know that I love them and that I am so privileged to be the associate pastor. I ask your blessings upon them, Lord, each and every one. Lord, where there is conflict in this church over one person with another or two people, whatever it is, I ask you, Lord, to let the spirit of forgiveness flow. Let it flow to each and every one of us so that we can forgive and then receive that grace that you promise us. Keep living in the spirit of forgiveness. Let forgiveness flow. And help us to remember, Lord, that you forgave us. And as you forgave us, we've got to forgive others. I ask you, Lord, to bless those that are in need this morning. There's those that have lost loved ones. My prayer is for them, and I ask you to bless them, bring comfort to them. Lord, I simply ask you to be with my pastor and his wife. Lord, you know, Lord, in my heart how much I love them and how much I really care for them. And so I'm asking you, Lord, bless him. In these days that are coming and the surgery that's coming, I pray, Lord, use your healing hands on him. Lord, keep in mind how many people depend on him. Keep in mind how much I love him and how much I need him. I'm praying, keep that in mind, Lord. Bless his family. Bless Cinda. Bless, Lord, all those that have come together today. I ask you in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. As we sing this last song just for a moment here, if you've got something that you've got with another person or they have with you and you want to come and kneel and just simply ask God to intervene in that, help you with the spirit of forgiveness, that's fine. Nobody's going to point you out. None of that's going to happen. Just between you and God. So as we sing, you come.